Well, good morning, everyone. Hey, I'm Andrew, the Fredericksburg campus pastor, and it's so good to be with you today. Hey, Fredericksburg, I'm missing being down there with you guys today, but it's so good to be back here with you at the Stafford campus. And of course, those of you who are watching online on our online campus, whether it's today or later on in the week, so good to be with you as we continue the next part of our series, part six of Kidding Me. And today, I'm about to ruin every movie you're ever going to see for the rest of your life. I'm about to show you that every single movie follows the exact same plot. So whether you're watching a movie later on today, or maybe later on when they open back up in theaters, you're going to see that they follow the exact same pattern over and over and over again. So when you're sitting there, you're going to be like, Pastor Andrew told me this. I see it. And every movie is going to be ruined for you. Now, I can see you don't believe me yet. So this is how it usually goes. First, when a story starts, there's a hero or a main character that's introduced. Maybe somebody who's a little bit likable, someone who's maybe a little bit lovable, or maybe they have a past, or maybe they have a secret. And this character is introduced, and then this main character or this hero, they go on a journey. And they're on this journey, maybe it's some type of quest or adventure they end up on, or maybe it's even a journey of some type of self-discovery. And on this journey, they actually run into a crisis. This hero or this main character ends up at this point of crisis, and it's a challenge that they face, some type of hill where it seems like they're not going to overcome it. True love is not going to be found. The relationship is going to end. The very world itself is going to come to a disaster. But then, somehow, some way, that hero or that main character on this journey, they're able to overcome. The relationship is saved. The whole world is saved. They achieved that victory that they were looking for, and they're able to overcome. But you want to know what the main component and another character that's oftentimes overlooked in this whole story journey is? It's a character that actually gives the main character maybe that little bit of information they were looking for. It's a character that gives them that word of hope, that encouragement, that key, that map, exactly what they needed to overcome the crisis and to win the victory. And that person is the guide. The guide is the key. Come on, just like in that movie, The Lord of the Rings, Frodo needed Gandalf to be able to get through his journey, to be able to overcome his crisis and win and overcome. In the movie The Hunger Games, Katniss needed Haymitch to be able to overcome. She needed him as a guide. Come on, in Star Wars, Luke needed Yoda as a guide to help him overcome, defeat the Empire, defeat Darth Vader. And then in that movie Tenet, the protagonist needed Edward Cullen from Twilight to help him overcome and to figure out whatever in the world they were trying to do in that movie. The guide is the key. And see, when the guide comes along, that main character, that hero, they get exactly what they needed to make it through their journey, to overcome that obstacle, and to win a great victory, to save the group of people, to save the planet, because they couldn't do it on their own. In fact, author Donald Miller, who wrote this book called Building a Story Brand, he said it this way. He says, we intuitively know that the hero or that main character cannot solve that problem on their own, or he or she wouldn't have gotten into trouble in the first place. Storytellers use the guide character to encourage the hero and to equip them to win the day. On this journey of parenting, we need a guide. Have you ever noticed, parents, that parenting seems to be getting way more complicated, way more challenging, and even at times full of crisis? In fact, I wonder how many of you guys are sitting in this room today or at Fredericksburg or even watching online. How many of you guys today would say maybe once you became a parent, you've now realized that parenting is way more complex than you thought it was going to be? Raise your hand up if you realize parenting is way more complex than you thought it was going to be. I see two hands up with some people in this room. You know, on this journey, parenting can become so much more complex, so much more challenging, and we can find ourselves oftentimes trying to figure out this complicated thing called parenting. You know, my wife and I, we've been married now for 14 years, and we have four kids. In fact, this picture right here was taken last week at Mother's Day, and I just put it up there for the oohs and the ahs, so thank you guys for that. But we tried so hard to get all the kids to smile and to look at the camera. We tried bribing them. I was a host last week at the Fredericksburg campus, and I even looked at them when I was saying, look at the camera for your mom. And we almost made it. One's smiling, one's looking at the camera, one's looking over here at something. We almost made it. But I thought on this journey of parenting, I wanted to back up 10 years ago, okay? 10 years ago. Back in 2011, my wife and I had our very first child, Micaiah Olivia Segree. She was born in Columbus, Ohio, and this picture was taken right here when we were getting ready to be discharged from the hospital. And I can remember, just as so many parents probably often feel with that first child, that when you're getting that baby, getting ready to leave, you're so excited, but at the same time, you are so scared. And I can remember, probably as maybe more so dads do, when you're getting ready to be discharged from the hospital, I remember asking the question, are any of you nurses going to come home with us? Are you going to provide some type of instruction manual for us with this little human being who's so complex? We don't know what we're going to do. I remember saying, look, is there an extended warranty in case we break this little person? And by some chance, is there a return policy in case we just can't figure it out? But I can remember, too, when we finally left that hospital and Micaiah's in her brand new car seat that we got and we put it in the back seat. I remember I was driving home on the interstate, both hands on the wheel. And church, I was driving at 40 miles an hour. Now, there was no traffic. It wasn't like our demon-possessed 95 that we have here in Northern Virginia. It was wide open. But both hands on the wheel, driving 40 miles an hour because I did not want to break this brand new human being that we were bringing home. I remember there came a moment where it actually started to snow. Micaiah started crying in the back seat, and then my wife started crying in the back seat, and we didn't know what to do. So I pulled off the highway, and we went to a Target because we didn't know what was wrong with her. We didn't know what was going on while she was crying. So we went into Target, and we bought a pacifier, even though they told us in a book you're not supposed to use a pacifier because it'll mess up your kid's teeth. You want to know how many pacifiers we bought when we went into that Target? We bought 6 pacifiers. We didn't know what type she needed. We didn't know which one she was going to like. So we bought 6 different pacifiers. It hadn't even been 24 hours, and we already felt like we were going to be failing as a parent. We bought 6 pacifiers just on the way home. And see, parenting really is like getting this kid, getting this complex human being without an instruction manual. And at times we can feel like because there is no instruction manual, we can feel like we're going at it alone. In fact, it really is like, you know, when you're trying to raise this human being who is complex, you even try to maybe put in a system. You try to put in a system that may work with the first kid, but because they're so complicated, that same system may not work with the next kid. In fact, using that same system again might actually send your entire family to counseling. And see, I really do think we know what it's like to go on this journey of parenting once you step into it. We know that it can be so complex. We know that it can be so challenging. We know that we can face crisis. But one of the mistakes that we do make often as parents, because there is no instruction manual, is that we do try to go at it alone. And whether you're a single parent or a mom or a dad, we try to figure out these things on our own. But on this journey that involves so much complexity, it can involve so much challenge. It can involve so much crisis. We need a guide. And today we're going to see what a guide does for us on this journey as parents. But I really do believe that the principles that Jesus teaches in this portion of scripture we're going to be in today, they're so powerful that even if you're not a parent or not a parent yet, even if you're not yet a follower of Christ, If you put these principles into practice, it will make a difference in your life. So going to open up your Bible to John chapter 10, or you can even open up the Mount app to the notes. We're going to be in John chapter 10 today. And as you're turning there, John, who records this story, he's often called the beloved disciple. And that's because John had this close, personal relationship with Jesus. In fact, you know, Jesus had a lot of people kind of following him at one point, and then he had his 12 disciples, and then he had this inner circle of three, Peter, James, and John. And some people even say that John was even the one that Jesus poured the most into. In fact, even as Jesus is getting ready to go, as he's on the cross, he looks at John and he says, John, I want you to be the one who takes care of my mom after I go to the cross, after I die, and even after I rise again from the dead. He's like, you're going to be the one who takes care of my mom. And see, John, who walked with Jesus, who talked with Jesus in this first century, I want to remind you that what we're about to read today, church, this isn't a fairy tale. This is a biography. This is a story recorded by a very real John who did live in the first century, who really did see Jesus do the things that Jesus did. This is an eyewitness account. And here in this story, John is there, the other disciples are there, but Jesus is actually primarily talking to a group of people called the Pharisees. And see, the Pharisees, they were actually supposed to be the spiritual parents of Israel. They were supposed to be the ones who helped guide the children of Israel to be able to follow the ultimate guide, who's God. But see, at some point, they had lost their way. And they started to make everything that they did about themselves. They started to focus on just their own journey, what they wanted. They even started to try to do things without including God in any of it. And what Jesus was trying to say is, look, you guys are supposed to be the spiritual parents of Israel, but you are actually causing some of the most pain to the children of Israel. And Jesus was trying to say, look, let me guide you. I am the way. In fact, today, I believe he wants to do the same thing for us. And parents, can I just say that you are the one called to that child? Whether you birthed that child, whether you adopted that child, whether you're fostering a child right now in your home, whether you're even a grandparent who finds yourself again being a parent, God is the one who has called you to that child. And you may feel like right now what you're going through it alone. No one else is experiencing what you're going through, but you are not alone. And you don't have to be alone. You need a guide. And here in John chapter 10, I believe Jesus shows us three types of guides that we need. Listen to what Jesus says here, beginning in verse 1, as he's talking to the Pharisees. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus shows us right here that one of the types of guides that we need is that we need a guide who's gone before us. We need a guide who's gone before us. You know, this passage right here in John chapter 10, it is so powerful. It is so good. In fact, I even want to challenge you right now. If you're not reading anything in the Bible right now, make this one book one that you read over and over every single day this week. As Jesus is talking about how he's this good shepherd who leads the sheep and they hear his voice, man, I believe that God's going to speak to you every single day as you read this book in the Bible. But right here in John chapter 10, this is also a very powerful reminder that we do have a good shepherd. In fact, spoiler alert, just a couple of verses a little bit further down, John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, I know most of you right now in 2021, you're probably not shepherding anything, okay? You probably don't have any sheep on your property. Even though I do know one person down at the Fredericksburg campus who they're raising goats right now, they're building a goat barn, and they're looking to have like 30 or 40 goats that I guess they'll be shepherding through Spotsylvania County. I know there's one person right now who's really, really into that, but most of us aren't shepherding any type of animal right now in this season. So sometimes like hearing these stories about shepherds is kind of a foreign language to us. But what Jesus is trying to tell us right here is that a good shepherd was with the sheep. He cared deeply for the sheep. He was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And right here he's saying too, you know what? A good shepherd also goes out ahead of the sheep. See, a good shepherd would be with the sheep, but he would also go out and he would try to plan a pathway for the sheep. So when he was taking them out to pasture, if there was any danger that could be avoided, if there was any situations they were going to be going through, the good shepherd would already know so that he could either move them around that danger or even move them through it. And what Jesus is trying to remind us here, that he is that good shepherd that's already gone before us. He's already gone ahead. I think sometimes we forget that God does know the future. He knows everything that you're going to go through. He knows the challenges you're going to face. He knows the celebrations you're going to experience. He knows the pain you're going to feel. He knows the sins that you're going to commit even before you commit them. In fact, because he's already gone ahead, there's no place that you're going to be led to that Jesus himself has not already gone to. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you. And in fact, some people will ask me, you know, Andrew, what, if that's the case, if God really does know the future, and if my future involves something difficult or painful that I'm going to go through, then if God really knows the future, why in the world would he let me go through that painful season, that sinful season, or something like that in my life? But I really do believe because he does know the future, that whatever you're going to go through, because he's gone ahead, he's going to lead you through. For parents, this means that we need a guide who's gone before us. You know, last week we talked about how we need to widen the circle for your kids. But see, parents, you need to do the same thing as well. You need people in your life who have already gone ahead, who know some of the ruts and the pitfalls and the pain that you're going to go through because they've already made it to the other side. We need other parents who have already been through potty training. We need parents who have already sent them off to college. We need parents who deal with the sleepless nights because that sleep training book that you read didn't work on this kid. You need someone who can truly say, it won't always be this way. Even though it feels like it right now, it won't always be this way because I made it through. I made it to the other side. Author and Christian counselor David Thomas says it this way. He says, there is much wisdom in parents having at least one other parent in their life who is at least a decade ahead of you, a trusted voice that can help you parent with a long view in mind. You know, when my wife and I first moved here in 2015, we had three kids at the time, and all of them were ages 4 and under. And so some still in diapers, but all really young. And they went through, one kid in particular went through a season where it seems like he would not sleep. He couldn't stay asleep. He would wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes several times in the middle of the night. And see, we had read the sleep training book, and it worked phenomenally well on the first child. But on that second child, it's like he didn't care anything about what was said in that book. That kid would not sleep. In fact, I went through a season where I was actually found myself complaining to Pastor Todd at one time. And I said to him, it's always going to be this way. In fact, you know what? I'm never going to sleep again. My wife's never going to sleep again. We're going to sell our bed on Facebook Marketplace because ain't nobody sleeping in this house because of this kid. I remember him saying, Andrew, calm down. Remember, at some point, they're going to grow up. At some point, they're going to move out of your house. At some point, you are going to get some rest again. I remember how just in that moment, from someone who's already gone way ahead of me, 10 years, 15 years, 10, is it 10? I think it's 10. Who's already gone out in front, who's already gone before me. I remember how hearing even just that one line of encouragement was like a breath of heaven in my life. I remember thinking, you know what? This really is just a phase. We can persevere. In fact, even seeing how well rested he was in that moment, I remember thinking that could be me one day. See, parents, we need someone in our life where they've already gone before us. They've already gone ahead. You need someone who's going to remind you that every conversation you have with a teenager is not going to lead to an argument. You need someone to help you understand, look, that toddler one day is going to grow up. They won't be in diapers all the time. You need someone who's going to help you keep that long view in mind when parenting. You need a guide who's gone before. But not only that, we need a guide who's right there with us. We need a guide who's right there with us. Listen to how Jesus continues as he's doing this last public sermon before he goes to the cross. In verse 10, he says, "A thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and he does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away, this hired hand runs away, because he's just a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep." You know, this part of the passage right here is both a warning, but it's also a blessing. And it's a warning because Jesus right here lets us know that we really do have a real enemy. In fact, the thief right there in verse 10 is a reference to Satan himself. And Satan himself does have an agenda. And whether it's our parenting or whether it's our own purpose, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal the identity that God has given you. He wants to try to kill the future, the purpose that God is trying to work through you. And he wants to destroy any type of hope or peace that God wants to bring in your life. But then he also gives us this description of the hired hand. And see, there are people that will come into your life that you think are for you. There are people who come into your life who you think are on this journey with you. But see, what they're really trying to do is to lead you away from the purpose and the very design that God has given for your family. These are people who may even lead you up to this point where you're following something so far from God. And then when you feel some of that dysfunction and tension and crisis come in, they run away just like this hired hand does. So parents, we can't just give permission to anyone to speak into our lives. We can't just give permission to culture to speak into our lives. We need a guide who's going to be right there with us. In fact, we need someone who's literally in the thick of it with us, someone that we can trust. You know, a good shepherd was always right there, nose to nose with the sheep. A good shepherd was right there. If a storm came, he would stay with the sheep. A good shepherd would see if a wolf or something tried to come attack, he would try to defend the sheep. He was right there with them through storms, through challenging terrain, through any types of attacks. This good shepherd was right there, nose to nose, going through the same things that the sheep would go through. And see, this is a reminder for us that in this season of parenting that you're in, you need someone who's going to be right there with you, nose to nose, who understands what you're going through. So you don't feel like you're crazy. So you don't feel like you're the only one going through what you're going through. You need somebody who's right there with you. You know, a few weeks ago in our life group meets at our house on Wednesday nights. We had our families over, and our life group, when everyone comes, has a lot of kids in it. They're mostly married couples with kids, and some of them, their kids have already kind of moved on or gone to college. And we still have couples in our group that still have kids in diapers. But when everyone's there, it's 13 kids in the house, ranging from just under 1 year old up to 13 years old. It's crazy, y'all. Pray for our group. But we're doing life together, so it's awesome. But there was one night just a couple of weeks ago where one of the kids, not one of my angel kids, but one of the other kids of another parent in the life group, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think this child was told, no, either you can't have some more of the dessert that we were having that night, or we can't stay because it's time to go, but this kid was told no. And as this kid was told no, I saw the kid run across the living room, flop themselves on the couch, and start crying as if somebody just punched him in the face. And as I'm watching this drama unfold, one of the first thoughts that came into my mind is, I understand. Because that happens in our household all the time. And I said to them, look, I understand what you're going through. In fact, you know what? It encourages me because I see that your kid is a little bit jacked up. And I know my kid is a little bit jacked up. In fact, you know what, Fredericksburg? Your kids are jacked up. Stafford, your kids are jacked up. If you're watching online, we all jacked up, okay? All of us are jacked up because you know what? Sin breaks us. Man, sin causes this challenge in every single area of our lives. And that's why you need someone who's right there with you in that season. Say, you know what? I understand that you're trying to raise a little sinner who needs grace, just like I'm trying to raise a little sinner who needs grace. You need a guide who's right there with you, who understands how difficult it can be talking to your teenager, even though you love them and you want what's best for them. You need someone who understands right there, and they're right there with you, how to have that conversation. You need someone who's right there with you, understands why that toddler won't throw up in the toilet. They'll throw up next to the toilet. They'll throw up in your lap. They'll throw up in their bed, but they won't throw up in the toilet. You need someone right there with you to say, you know what, you're not crazy. I'm going through the same thing. I understand. You need a guide who's right there with you. All right, one more. You need to become a guide. You need to become a guide. What God has done in you, what God has done for you, what God has led you through is not just for you. All that experience that he's brought into your life, even the painful ones, he doesn't want you to just keep it to yourself. You know, I'm often asked the question as a pastor, why did I have to go through what I went through? Why did I have to go through that painful season? Why did I have to go through that prodigal season? Why did I have to experience what I experienced? And my answer oftentimes is, I don't know. But what I do know is that perseverance that God built in you through that pain, through that experience, that character that he was trying to grow in you, and hopefully even that greater hope in him that he grew in you, he doesn't want you to just keep that to yourself. He wants you to share that experience with someone who's behind you, who will probably go through the same thing that you have been through. Listen to how Jesus continues in John chapter 10, verse 16. This is so good. He says, look, I have sheep that are not yet part of this pen. I must bring them also. He says, they will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And you know what? Jesus could have said, you know what? I have the fullness of God in me. In fact, I am God, right? I have the fullness of God in me. He could have said, I got my people around me, got my disciples around me, I got all my people, and what I have is just for me and maybe for them and for no one else. But what he's saying here is that, look, there are other sheep who are not yet part of this fold, this group of people who still need to hear the gospel, who still need to hear the good news about who Jesus is. In fact, specifically in this passage, he's saying, look, the good news about Jesus isn't just for the Jews. It's for the Gentiles. It's for those of a different religious group, different ethnic group. And he's saying, look, we need to take the good news to them. And he's saying, look, there's still one more person to reach, one more person to hear the good news about who Jesus is, one more person who needs the help and the hope of Christ, and maybe they don't even know it yet. I just want to challenge you, church, who is it right now in your life that God has brought along your path who doesn't yet know Christ? Who is it that you're praying for that needs a relationship with him? Who is it right now that you're inviting to this church because you know the gospel is going to be preached here in this church? Who is it who's far from God that you're inviting to this church? Who is it right now that face to face, relationship to relationship, come on, heart to heart, who is it right now that you're sharing what God has done in you, that what the good news has brought for you? Who is it that you're sharing the gospel with? And see, for parents, this is a reminder that what God has done for us is not just for us. In fact, there's someone right now who is where you were. And you have a story that could help bring them through whatever it is they're going through. In fact, for a moment, I just want to talk to some of the senior saints who are maybe watching online or at Fredericksburg or right here at Stafford or maybe from your beach house somewhere. I just want to challenge you that, man, all those trials, all the suffering, all what God has brought you through, don't just keep that to yourself. Man, there is a parent right now behind you that will love to hear, look, I did make it through, even though it was difficult. There's someone else that you can help bring through whatever season of parenting that they're in. You can help become a guide for someone else. And maybe right now is just intentionally being that for your kids. Maybe that's right now you intentionally being that for your grandkids. Maybe it's even sharing how God brought you through with your neighbors or even with someone else right here inside this church. Don't just keep what God has done in you and what he's brought you through just for you. We need to share that with someone else. We need to become a guide to help bring someone else through. In fact, until this life on earth here is over, there is still kingdom work to be done. There's still one more person to reach with the gospel, one more person to encourage with the good news, and there's still one more parent to share with them, look, I made it, you can too. I know the way, let me guide you. Church, I want to give you just three steps, okay? Three steps that maybe you can take to find a guide. In fact, I want to challenge you sometime in the next 30 days that you would take at least one of these steps to be able to find one of these guides in your life. Someone's gone before you, someone's right there with you, or even be able to just pray about who is it I can start to bring through as well. The first step that you can take to find a guide is to get rid of pride. You know, the truth of the matter is, I think a lot of times we do try to figure this all out on our own. And we try to go at it alone. But how many times does God remind us in his word that we were never designed to do this life on our own? And we were designed to live in community, to live with the good shepherd, to follow him. And sometimes we just seem to say, you know what? Rather than trying to figure it on my own, I'm going to push past pride and I want to step into community with somebody. I know I need help to make it through whatever season of parenting I'm in. In fact, it would be so good if in this season you even said, you know what? I'm going to step into this church. In fact, that's the second step that you can take. I would really challenge you that you would really get into this church. Now, here's what I mean by that. You know, right now in my group, like I said, we have people who are ahead, people are a little bit behind, and people are right there with us. And it's so good that we have this multi-generational, multi-ethnic church. In fact, if you're looking for a guide who's ahead or right there with you or someone you can help bring behind, you can actually find all of those things right here in this church. And let me just challenge you. Let me just push you a little bit. If you've been coming to this church for more than 3 months, why are you not in a group yet? Why have you not stepped into these community groups, these life groups, that we encourage you to say, you know what? When you get into community, that's where you share life with somebody else. And right now, maybe some of the isolation that you're feeling, right now, some of the brokenness that you're feeling, not just in the world, but right there in your own home, in your own life, might be because you have not stepped into this community, these groups that God has designed to let you know you're not crazy. You're not the only one going through what you're going through. And you can do life together with someone else. And the third step you can take is simply this, just ask someone. Again, not everyone, someone that you trust, to simply ask one. Someone who has gone before you to say, you know what, I see right now, I see that you've made it through and you still love Jesus. I see right now that you've made it through. Would it be okay from time to time I just sat down with you and maybe just ask you some questions about this, what I'm facing and the challenges I see as a parent? Maybe that's simply asking someone that you see is right there with you and saying, you know what, I see that you're kind of going through the same things that I'm going through. Would it be okay if I just simply talk to you and just share just some of the complexity of the season and what I'm facing? Because I don't want you to feel alone. I know I don't want you to feel alone. I know your kids are a little bit jacked up. My kids are a little bit jacked up. Let's just talk about this together. And a simple step to take is just to ask someone. As parents, we often make the mistake of trying to go at this alone. Even though we know on this journey of being a parent, we're going to face complexity, we're going to face challenges, we're going to face crisis. And that's why we need a guide who's gone before. And we need a guide who's right there with us. And we need to be able to turn it around and bring someone else along. I'm going to ask our worship teams at both campuses are going to make their way back up to the stage. And as they're making their way back up, in a moment, I am going to pray for all the parents. I want to pray for all the parents before I leave here today. But I really do believe right now, whether at Fredericksburg or right here in this room or even watching online, there's still one, at least one more person who hasn't yet decided to follow Jesus. And I want you to know right now that, look, you have a guide who's already gone before. He knows every single thing that you were going to go through. He knows all the challenges you are going to face. He knows all the pitfalls you're going to step into. He knows all the sin that was going to come into your life. He knows all the shame that you are going to feel. But you also have a guide who's right there with you. In fact, Jesus said that while they were still sinners, Christ died for you. Jesus was buried, and then he rose again to pay the price for your sins so that you could have this life to the full that he talked about, so that you could experience the fullness of life and forgiveness, so you could have hope no matter what season of life you find yourself in. And you have a guide today who wants to become your guide. All you have to do is to turn to him, to give your life to him, to ask him to be that good shepherd. Is that you today? Come on, go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're ready today to give your life to Christ, whether you're at the Fredericksburg campus, online, or right here in this room at Stafford, if you're ready to give your life to the good shepherd today, would you just pray this simple prayer where you are? Would you just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Jesus, forgive me of my shame. Today, guide me. Today, be the Lord and leader of my life. And while everyone says their heads down, their eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Lord today, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I want you to send your hands straight up in the air. And then our prayer team is going to give you a card to help you take that next step on this journey with Jesus. So come on, Fredericksburg, Stafford, online, if that's you today, you pray to ask Jesus to be the Lord and leader of your life. 1, 2, 3. Going to shoot your hand straight up in the air. Shoot it up straight up in the air and keep it up just for a moment. If you're watching online, going to click that button right near me or let the chat host know. We want to be able to get you a card in your hand, and we want to be able to send you a Bible as well. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd. And God, I want to pray for all the parents today who are watching, who are listening. And no matter what season of life they find themselves in, God, I pray that they would know that they have a good shepherd who's gone before. God, there's no place that you're going to lead them to that you haven't already been to. And I pray that they would know, Lord, that you're also right there with them. You're never going to leave them nor forsake them. No matter the storms, no matter the trials, no matter the season, God, you are always right there with us. And I pray, God, that we would be the type of church where we would be your hands and your feet, And God, we wouldn't keep what you have done for us or in us just for us. But God, we would share that with the world. We would share that with another parent. God, we would share that with someone else that needs the hope that's only found in Jesus. We love you, God. God, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.